Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of M365 Voice. I'm Antonio Mayo.
I'm Sarah Halsey.
And I am Mike Malani.
And today we're going to pull another question from the jar.
We are indeed. All right. Ready?
Let's see what people are wondering.
To collaborate with someone outside my organization, when would I use a Teams shared channel versus externally sharing a team to a guest?
That's
for using a Teams shared channel versus externally sharing a team to a guest.
Those are both good options.
Yeah.
Mike, I know that you talk quite a lot about Teams and about this topic. I personally always invite external guests. Have certainly researched and played with shared channels, but have not used them in a production fashion myself.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do just a recap. What is a shared channel before we go into the details a bit? So if you look back in history with Teams, they started with standard channels, and we all know what standard channels are. And then they introduced the private channel as a subset of that's a channel that has the membership of the channel that can only see that channel. If you're not a member of it, you cannot see it. But the condition of the private channel is you will have to be a member of the team to be able to be a member of the actual private channel. And then there is this requirement from all of us and everyone that is using the team that, what if I want to add a channel and I don't want to invite everyone? I don't want to invite people from within the team. So I want to invite, so I have this team that the three of us, for example, are in it. And I want to invite Antonio or Sarah to a channel. But I don't want them to be part of the team. So I create that shared channel. I can invite them to that channel. I don't have to be a member of the team, so don't have any visibility to all the other channels within that team, all the other standard channels. So that was the concept of a shared channel. So you can invite people to it without the need to add them to a team itself.
And in that example, you're talking about people internal to your organization.
Internal to the organization, exactly. Okay.
That's a great point, because I always thought shared channels were meant for external folks, not for internal folks.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the same experience within whether you are internal from a user perspective. It is the same experience whether internally or externally.
So it's very much like sharing a folder in OneDrive or a document library on a SharePoint site when you don't have access to the main site. You're just getting access to that one little spot, one shared channel.
Exactly. And that eliminates the biggest issue of oversharing. Because if I wanted to add someone to a private channel, I had to add that person to the team first, which then they have access to everything else in that team.
Which is especially important depending on how your organization uses Teams, because I think that there are some that are very, they might have processes where permissions and access to a team has to be reevaluated on a regular basis. But there are other companies that probably take just a, you know, just kind of a blast approach, whereas they put a lot of their employees or all of their employees on almost all of the teams. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they don't have permission issues.
Yeah, exactly. Then if you want to extend the invitation to an external user, that's where the big difference comes in play. Let's start with the user experience first. That solves a big problem from a tenant switching perspective. If I invite someone externally to my shared channel, that channel appears in that person's team client. They don't have to switch the actual tenant to be able to have access to that channel. So it will appear as part of their teams. It will be the team name and the channel name within the list of all the teams in their team's client. So as if they never left the tenant.
And like you said, you'll just see the channel that was shared with that external person.
Okay. That's correct. You only see that channel and you see the team name with the organization's name beside it as well. So you know which organization is sharing that channel with you.
Okay.
However, there are some configurations required on EntraID side before you can do this. This is what we call a B2B direct or cross-tenant collaboration settings. So these settings are turned off by default on your tenant. So if I am inviting you, if I'm inviting Sarah or Antonio to my shared channel, I have to set up your tenant ID or your domain name to accept sending you an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
And your global admin will have to do the same thing for my tenant ID or domain to allow the inbound invitation. So that is an inbound and outbound.
That's right.
And typically you configure for these, for the organization, both inbound and outbound, the same thing, unless you have a specific reason that you don't want to accept invitation from the other organization.
Yeah.
And you say, I allow this organization to send me an invitation for a B2B authentication model.
And Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, with what I know about cross-tenant collaboration, you can only do that inbound-outbound configuration on a tenant level or a domain level. Correct. I can't do it for just a particular user or set of users.
So
I can't do it as just invite these users or this user, can I?
Oh, you can. So when you have to set the domain level first or the tenant ID, and you say, okay, I'm accepting, we're accepting invitations or we're sending invitations, it doesn't matter, same thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to accept this invitation from this tenant, from this domain, and I can say that is another configuration that says I want to accept it from all the users, allow it for all the users, specific groups, or specific email addresses.
Gotcha.
But you have to enter those manually, or you can upload them through a CSV file, though.
Okay. But you can configure it at that level. That's good.
You can do it configure at that level.
Okay.
If you are configuring it,
an email address for a person, or I'm assuming it can't be a distribution group. It's got to be a named person email address.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be a group or a named
person. Or a group or a person. Okay.
Now, if you want to do it granularly, you always keep a spreadsheet of what you have, because managing that inside the UI is not the easiest way to kind of go and find out who has access, specifically if that list grows. But typically the easiest way is just say everyone in the organization will be allowed to use this feature unless you have a specific reason to specify people or groups. So back to the question for external or teams, or if you're sharing the team as a guest. Now, if you want to use guests, you have to share. If I want to share a channel or a private channel or an entire team, I'll have to send it an invitation to what we call it's a guest account. And the difference between guest account and a B2B authentication model is, once I send an invitation to Sarah, for example, I'm going to have, as a guest, I'll have to send it to the team level. I cannot send it at the channel level, whether it is standard or private. I'll have to actually share the team, which then Sarah has access to everything, mm-hmm, excluding maybe none of the private channels if Sarah is not a member of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens in the back end from Azure AD perspective, Sarah's added to my tenant as a guest.
That's right.
Then I'll have to go, typically we have to put some governance and see how often Sarah has been logging in. We do some reports, and if she hasn't logged in a while, and then maybe it's time to clean up that kind of thing. On the B2B side, none of this happened. Whoever I'm sending the invitation to, they're not added to my EntraID at all. The authentication is happening on their side.
I would think you still have a governance responsibility, though, to verify on some sort of a regular basis.
Correct.
All the channels that are shared through shared channels, and if those people still need access.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Well, you should.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, yes, exactly.
You should always have the governance and the security behind it, and I'm not sure everyone does. And it's interesting. I think it would be interesting to see out of 100 companies that use shared channels where they share them externally, what the governance processes are Because unfortunately, I tend to think that they're probably not very robust or mature right now. But I think in the next 2 to 4 years, we're going to see a lot of companies enter into audit phases or things like that, where they're going to have to beef up that governance.
Agreed. Exactly. I think all of the talk around and promise around Copilot is really pushing that governance conversation for people on cleaning up their environment, cleaning up their permissions, cleaning up access.
There are some limitations to a shared channel similar to the private channels. One of the big limitation, which is, I don't call it limitation, actually, it's more than restrictions, because you have to have that handshake between the two intra ID tenants. Only the Azure AD accounts, you cannot send an invitation to a non-AAD account. You cannot send it to a Gmail, Hotmail, Outlook, or any other email address that is not part of an intra ID.
Okay. Whereas a Teams guest can be someone's Gmail
account. Can be anyone on Unix or anything, whatever, right?
Got it. Okay.
Plus, there are some limitations from an app's perspective, like no support for Stream, Planner, or Forms apps. All of this similar with same thing as a private channel.
Okay. So if we go back to the question, when would you use a shared channel to collaborate externally versus a Teams guest?
Personally, since shared channel has now, I've been using only shared channel because it's easier for the recipient to kind of manage their access to the shared channel, to the channel itself.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to, if I have a team that has a lot of channels in it, then it's best to use a guest, because I don't want to recreate all the channels as shared channels. So if there's a multiple channels, multiple categories that I want to share with a partner, the client, and they have to have access to all the channels, then yes, that is a really great case to use as a guest. I will share the team itself.
Okay. I would think, based on what you said also, if you need to share just a channel, so you've got an established team with many channels, some of that information you don't want the external person to see, you just want them to see one channel or a small number of channels, then probably the shared channel is the better model.
Exactly.
Well, it's the only model unless you move that channel under a different team.
Yes, and that basically eliminates creating another team for that specific reason. If you want to collaborate on that specific topic inside a channel, rather than creating another team and inviting external users, then you just create it inside that. My personal experience with a shared channel also, when using it externally, especially if you are collaborating on a co-authoring document, whether that co-authoring is OneNote or a specific Word Office document, there's a bit of delay. If you're doing the cross-tenant, there's quite a bit of delay. Sometimes up to 5 minutes before you see the other person's changes, if you are working together at the same time.
Okay. Okay.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I don't tend to experience that with when I'm a guest account and someone other's tenant, though. Is that your experience as well? Correct. To not get a delay when you're a guest?
No, I don't remember being annoyed by the delays using guest invitations. Okay.
And then I would think another use case would be if you have to share a team or collaborate with someone and it's a non-entra ID account. So it's Gmail, Hotmail, some other domain that's not part of M365, then you have to go the guest account route.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's a lot to think about. And for organizations, I would think that some organizations might be willing to open up both methodologies, but I would think that some are not willing to expose both areas of Teams shared channels and guest access and may prefer natively one over the other. Mike, when have you seen companies from a control or governance perspective lean to guest versus shared channels?
But actually, in my world, they're both controlled. The private channels, the guests, and the shared channel are governed closely, because they don't want to you know, overshare, that don't want to overcreate SharePoint sites for no reason, because mm-hmm. every time you create a share channel, it will create a SharePoint site similar with the private channel. So they have a strict process for share channels. Same thing for a guest account as well.
It's interesting to think about from a default perspective, because correct me if I'm wrong, if you go spin up a brand new tenant now, guest access is on by default, is it not?
That is correct. Guest
access is on. Shared channels is off by default.
Well, that the shared channel is on.
Oh, it's the cross tenant.
The cross tenant collaboration is turned off on the Entra ID. Yeah.
Sarah, back to your point for a second. I would think if you do enable both, right, and you do have some, as Mike was saying, some process around which one gets, you know, enabled and controlled, you would want to provide a lot of guidance and communication to your users on which is the best option in different circumstances, if you make both available. Because mm-hmm. that would be a tough decision for someone who doesn't understand some of the technical details or what's required, perhaps.
Exactly.
Well, it's kind of the next iteration of how to share or where to share. Should I put a file in OneDrive, in Teams, in SharePoint? Should I attach it to an email, attach it to an IM? Where should I share? How should I share files? It's kind of a similar problem, but now we're talking about Teams. How do I share? What's the preferred way to share? And the hard part about that is taking all of the how it works and simplifying it down into something that every user in your organization who needs to share externally, that they know how to do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
One thing also I forgot to mention in a share channel, whether you're sharing externally or internally, is you have the ability to invite a group of people to a share channel. And you can do that by inviting a Teams owner. And this is the same experience as internally or externally. So Antonio, I know you and I work in different organizations, and I know that I want to collaborate with your team. So instead of me sending an invitation individually to each single one of your team, I can send it to you, and you go and then send the invitation to that team owner. And as a team owner, you can go and pick which mm-hmm. team you want to include in that invitation, which basically it includes all the team members.
So if I'm a team owner in the external organization and you're inviting me, mm-hmm. I can then, when I get that invitation, I can choose who from the team I want to invite to the share channel?
You can pick which team you want to include. Basically, you're picking the members of that team. You're not picking the team. So you're picking you're picking that team, and then it will be added to your team, actually. The channel will be added to that team that you own.
Okay.
But all the members of that team will have access to that channel.
Okay.
But there is a condition. Let's say you had told me I have a team with 5 members.
Okay.
And I send you the actual invitation as a team owner, not as an individual. But technically it is, it goes to an individual email, but I should show the settings in a bit. And then you go and you select a team that has 500 members in it.
Oh, okay.
I have to approve that request as well. I'll have to book once you pick that team that you want to include, you want to accept the invitation to.
Yeah.
I get also an approval request.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Antonio is adding is picking this team with 500 users.
Okay. That's not dependent on the number 500, I assume.
No. I've just given an example.
How many people? Yeah, okay. You would receive an approval request.
So I can say, well, I was talking to Antonio. He told me only it's going to be 5 members. Why is it 500? Mm-hmm. I can now say, no, I reject it because I don't want 500 people in my share channel.
Gotcha. Okay, mm-hmm. That's good. That's good that approval step is in there. Because you're right. It's easy to sometimes pick the wrong set of people.
Yeah, so let me show you what how it is. I'm going to just go into my Teams here. I'll just quickly share that screen and I'll show it to everyone. Let me know when you see the.
I see the shared channel. Sharing.
So here I can go, for example, this is the event we have, you know, shared channels, different events we have. I can go. So this is the icon, the two links is a shared channel. When I go and click on share channel, I can say with people, this is the individual. It goes to a specific person only. Yep. And when I say with a team, also I am setting up the team name, owner name, or email address. It goes to an email address as well. Mm-hmm. And then the recipient would go and pick whatever team they want to add that channel to.
Gotcha.
So when I do it this way, so if I send it to you, then you will receive notification. You want to have you approve it, and you select, you know, a window will pop up and we say which team you want to select. You select the team. Then I'll get also another activity notification saying, well, Antonio is selected this, and there are 5 members, and I approve it, and it will be a channel inside of that team.
Gotcha.
Nice.
And that little icon just to the right of those channels, that's what identifies it as a shared channel.
That's correct. The two kind of two links.
Yeah.
Icon is a shared channel. All
right. Very cool.
It's a really good overview of why, when, what the difference is between externally sharing with the guest versus having a team shared channel, and when to use each.
Yeah. And how shared channels works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it takes us 20, 25 minutes to be able to talk about it, imagine the enriching conversations that will occur within mm-hmm. your own IT departments, not to mention all of your business users.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is a great question. Thank you both. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today. I was really happy to be able to talk to you guys about this topic.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good one, everybody.